Welcome back. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. This is Issa Martel, and you are listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. Today is Friday, Muharram, the 30th in the Islamic year 1442, which is September the 18th, 2020. So, a lot of stuff has happened that I had been wanting to talk about. So, let's get into it. Sorry if you hear the rooster back there. I'm actually recording this in the day. Normally, I do them at night. It's interesting, though, about the rooster. So, right now, it's just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and normally you wouldn't hear roosters in the day. You know, you think about roosters, crow, what do roosters do? Crow, I guess. You hear them in the morning, like at sunrise or in the early morning or whatever, but here it's, 2:06 to be exact, and you hear the rooster. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's out there doing its thing. I find it interesting because there's a saying of Prophet Muhammad that when the rooster crows, I don't know what a rooster does. Let me look. Because crow doesn't sound like the right term to use. Let's see. Oh, it is crow. Huh. All right, well, there it is. When you hear as the Hadith, or the saying of Prophet Muhammad goes, when you hear the rooster crow, it's seeing an angel. And so it's crowing. And then there's the opposite, that if you hear a donkey bray, that it's seeing a devil. Not the devil, but it could be a devil. It could be the devil, I guess, but the term is a devil. And in Islam belief, there is like multiple devils. There's the head devil, and then there's like any of his followers are referred to as devils as well. Or shayateen is what in the Arabic, if you heard it, like shaitan is Satan. And that could be the word for his followers as well. Just a side note, I guess this would be a double side note to that side note. Shaitan's name is Iblis in Islam, not Lucifer. Or his name was Iblis, and then he got known as Shaitan. So, like I was saying, there's a lot of stuff that I want to mention. And if you hear the road noise or anything, it's because it's the day. So, two nights ago, I was coming home, excuse me, and it was around 1:30 in the morning. I was coming home from work, and I got pulled over. And I pretty much flipped out on the cop who was pulling me over. And this is why, if you're familiar with this area, which is Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota, there is a stretch of highway called 35E, which I take to get to my house, which is just around Forest Lake. So I'm on the highway cruising, and it was nice out, so I was like, you know what? I don't want to ride on the highway anymore. I just want to like go slower and just basically cruise home. So I pulled off of 35E at the exit to go to Hugo. It's the Hugo exit, which is the main, not main, these towns are relatively small, but it's the exit before Forest Lake. So it's like kind of like the town before it. And I then went up or north on 61, which is a state highway where 35E is the interstate that goes down to Texas. So I'm cruising, and there are two roundabouts that I have to go through to get to my house. And I come up to the first one, and they're about a half mile apart, these two roundabouts. I get up to the first one, and just around the same time as I'm pulling in, say I'm pulling in from the southern point of the roundabout, to the west, a cop, a Forest Lake cop, is pulling in too. And then going around the circle at the same time was someone coming from the north entrance of the circle and heading to, they got off at the southern entrance point, which was where I was at. So as they came around, I watched them go, and then I waited for the cop to go, right? Because he's to my left. So in the circle, he would be the next person to go. When he went, then I went, right? So he got up to the next circle, obviously before me, you know. And I, at that circle, I go right, which is eastbound, and I head toward my house. Right, but to go right on this circle particular, you don't actually enter the circle or the roundabout, whatever you call it. You go, there's like a kind of like an on-ramp little entrance that you go through. So if you're in the circle, you can't like hit this entrance point. So I watch the cop, he goes through, and he's maybe like, just like a quarter mile ahead of me, I guess, and I'm turning right, so I'm in going into this little lane that I just described. And the cop, once I got in there, he was in the circle, and instead of continuing to go north on in the circle, he floored it, looped around the circle, and got off to go east, which was the same way I was going, right? So he would be behind me. And, you know, I saw, it was, when I saw him do it, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy. You know, he's clearly doing it to get behind me. Sorry, there's the cats crawling. So if you hear purring or something too. So, yeah, so he floored it. He floored it around the circle, came up behind me, and basically rode right behind me for about, I don't know, almost like a half mile or so, and then decided to pull me over. Then turned on his lights, and that's what happened. So when he pulled me over, I was really annoyed. He came up to my car and asked for license and registration. So I had my license out, and I was giving him the registration or the insurance, not the registration. He asked for the insurance. And I I asked him, why'd you pull me over, right? And he said, because your tabs are expired, which they are, and it was because of COVID the DMV closed and when mine expired, and I never renewed them yet. But when he said that, that's what, like triggered me, because he didn't really pull me over. Like, that wasn't the reason he came up and circled behind me, right? It wasn't because my tabs were expired, because he couldn't see my tabs, right? So he clearly, like, profiled me in some manner and then decided to, like, come up behind me and see if he could, like, prod and find something wrong. Which is, like, a move that I hate the police do, that they do. So I was getting the stuff out, and I was just said to him, I said, you know, I'm really annoyed because I saw you floored around this corner, and, you know, I told him what I had saw. And while I'm doing so, he's, like, continuing to ask me, like, interject questions, like, you know, where do I live? And I'm just, like, answering him, you know, just straight, like, he's, like, a fool, basically, I guess. You know, I'm just, like, down the street, right next to the school. He's asking me where I work, what do I do? The typical questions, but I'm answering them extremely frankly, you know. Because, like I said, I was really annoyed, and I just felt like I had to let him know. So he then tells me, well, he was trying to say, like, if I'm... He tells me two things. The first is, you seem kind of anxious. I'm not going to hurt you. Right? So I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy just threw a line out like this. Which annoyed me more. And then he told me that when he saw me wait for him to go through the circle, he decided that I might be a drunk person, because normally drunk people will wait for the cop, like to cop to go by, and then they're safe to go. Which makes sense. I mean, I perfectly agree with him. And then he said, so based on that, when we got to the second circle is when he decided to, like, fool around and come up and try to pull me over to check it out. So then we kind of got in a little argument, and, you know, he was trying to justify what he did. And I said to him, I said, when we were in the first circle, I said, I'm a professional driver. That's what I do for a job. When we were in the first circle, the way the circle works is that you, meaning the cop, would go first through the circle and then me, you know. So I didn't hold or wait for you to go. I did the law of the circle and how to drive through the circle. I did what you're supposed to do. You know, which, that kind of, like, trumped his point, you know, because he was trying to validate, you know, being pulled over and stuff. And I said, yeah, you know, my cabs are expired, but basically you wouldn't ever know that if you didn't profile me in this situation. Like, you didn't happen to be behind me, you know, and then notice they were expired and then pull me over. You intentionally went behind me searching for something that you might be able to have on me, right? So he was, like, saying, well, I'm not... He was trying to de-escalate the situation at this point and saying he wasn't going to give me a ticket for my expired tabs because he understood what's going on and everything like that. But he still took my license and then, you know, ran it and you know, what seemed like 20 minutes, you know, he came back later, a few minutes later, and basically just said, get your tabs done and go. But in this situation, you know, the problem is that the cop made a decision, which was that me following the law perfectly was probability that I might be drunk, so that then I needed to be pulled over and investigated. And I, in us talking, I said to him, I was like, there was no signs of me being drunk. You know, I said I wasn't swerving, I wasn't driving erratically, I wasn't speeding, I wasn't going too slow. I think the speed, I was doing like 50, I think the speed is 55. So it's not that, you know, I was doing anything wrong. And on top of it, this is what kind of annoyed me more, is that I intentionally went and decided to drive on this road to go home because I just wanted to chill out and relax and drive. And now I got pulled over and, you know, I'm arguing with this cop here. So I was really heated at this point. And like I said, you know, he ultimately took my license and decided to let me go without anything. But it's just the precedent that, you know, the police can just and will just pull you over for anything, you know. And, you know, I don't think he liked that I just basically called him out on it. Because I talked to him, like I said, extremely frankly, and just let him know. Well, all this is interesting. So the next day, which was yesterday, I go to our local post office, and our town is really small, and we have a P.O. box, so I know we know the tellers and everything like that. I told this to the one woman, and she, like, sided with the cop the whole time, and she started siding with him, like, before I would finish the point or the rationale or even, like, the whole thing that happened. So it was, like, from the beginning, she was backing the cop before anything even was said. So my point is that she went into the conversation then that I was wrong and the cop was right. You know, that was her entrance thinking into it, as opposed to, you know, who's right, like a neutral stance and trying to seem who's right. And the thing is that she used the same excuses that the cop used, like in the same order. You know, she went through the same, is basically I had to like explain everything to her in the same way like I did to the cop, but in the exact same order also. And I think she might have worked in law enforcement or something years ago. So it was just really fascinating. And then, you know, finally she agreed with the point that, you know, if you follow the law to the letter, they can still pull you over. You know, basically that was the point, you know. And she was complacent in this. And I'm like, that's the problem. I said, like, we need to, that's not all right. You know, like, it she couldn't get that that wasn't, it. That's not an okay thing. That if we follow the law to the letter perfectly and do everything correctly that we're supposed to do, we can still get pulled over or any insert any situation investigated for doing that by the police, you know. So she, you know, she was trying to push this, and it just, I don't know, I guess it just took like us talking about it for like 20 minutes for her to finally get like, oh yeah, that isn't right. You know, it should be, or even if she didn't, I don't know, maybe she just decided to end it because someone else came into the post office. It was only us two there, and then someone else came in. So I don't know, but I found that interesting that this got me thinking basically to this whole thing that, you know, no matter what we do, we have the possibility to get basically called out. While I was talking to her, though, she made an interesting comment because I brought in race into the conversation, too, and how this is the reason why all this stuff is going on downtown and everything. Downtown Minneapolis, I mean. Because the cops can do this type of stuff. So she mentioned that she didn't think of me or see me, or even know that I'm not white. she didn't know that my skin isn't white. Now, I'll admit, my skin is on the lighter side of tan. However, it's clearly brown, you know. So the fact that she thought of me as white made me think of why? Like, why am I physically standing in front of you? Why are you viewing me as a white person? You know, because she's white, this woman's white, and she's older, probably. She looks like in her mid to late 50s. So, excuse me, why is she viewing me like this? And then it made me think, is this a inner form of racism, you know, or racial bias, or something along these lines, where she viewed me as white because of the way I speak to her, the way I act, maybe because my wife is white and she knows my wife, you know? So, you know, how is that the case? And I wondered what happened if I spoke to her like street language all the time. Would she then think of me as like a minority then, you know, a brown person? And we live here, like in the town. And, you know, if you drive through the town's nice. So I think, and the people that live here, not me, but the people that generally live here make a fairly decent amount of money. So the houses are nice and everything like that. So I think that all that came into a, like, an opinion that she has. But I was kind of offended by that, you know. Like, I was like, I can't believe that, one, you're siding with this cop the whole time, and two, on top of it, you just thought I was, she, like, I don't know what she thought, but she said, I didn't know you were brown. So, it's fascinating. So now is she going to think different of me, you know, or is she going to think differently of my wife? You know what I mean? Like, these are like, you may not think about that, but in like the way racism works and stuff like that, you know, you can see this happening. Though I don't think that that'll happen with her. I mean, she's an extremely nice woman and everything. I think that she just is genuinely, like, I don't know, ignorant in some way. I don't know. Yeah, it's really interesting. Really fascinating. Do I want to talk about some other stuff? I'll just end it here. Thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.